Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Herz.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz. I'm your host. It's July 3rd. Happy 4th of July weekend. What a year for July 4th to be on a Saturday, huh? Perfect timing for a trip, and you don't got that many options. We're going to talk Vanderbilt baseball today, continue our series with the Vanderbilt players going pro from the Commodore program after the canceled season and the limited draft. Our last two episodes, we spoke with Vanderbilt's two undrafted signees who had a little bit more motivation to pick a team and sign quickly. You want to make sure you get that guarantee. For the drafted players, of which Vanderbilt had four, there was more time than ever to negotiate your deal. Almost two full months before the signing deadline on August the 1st. Two of them have signed. Mason Hickman signed. We actually talked to him before the draft. Now next up is Tyler Brown. Brown became one of the best relief pitchers in college baseball over the past 3 years for Vanderbilt. Finished off four of Vanderbilt's five College World Series wins last year and set the program record with 17 saves, regular and postseason, as a sophomore in 2019. He was picked 101st overall in the draft, which was just 160 picks in total, down from over 1,200 usually. He was the final pick of the third round and just the second pick to the Houston Astros, who lost their first and second round picks as a part of their sign-stealing punishment. They did have a compensatory pick, which was because Gerrit Cole left them in free agency for the Yankees. So that pick was first. Tyler Brown was second. He signed for right around his slot value in the mid-500,000s a week after the draft. We'll talk about the draft, recap Tyler's Vanderbilt career, and of course at the very end, and this is worth sticking around for, we'll get some final thoughts as Tyler exits the college ranks about the very public and defining role that his personal and family life played in his Vanderbilt career. He had some very beautiful and thoughtful things to say. So make sure you hear that, if nothing else, towards the end of the interview portion of the podcast, which will be about the 23-22 minute mark, maybe. But hop around if you only have time for a little bit. I want to make sure everybody hears that, because I've always thought, what does Tyler Brown truly think about how public his private life has become? And he had a truly beautiful answer to that. So I want to make sure everybody hears that at the end. One other defining thing, talking about, we'll get into a little bit where he is right now. He actually just went down after spending the last 3 months at home in Central Ohio with his partner Jocelyn, his daughter Bella, and the rest of their family. He is now down in South Florida, training at Cressy Sport Performance, big baseball facility. He's got some former Vanderbilt teammates there. There were a lot of major league players there as well. So that is where Tyler Brown is now. He's bunking with Jake Eater down in South Florida and getting his training in with minor league baseball officially canceled this week. Tyler Brown's our guest, Anchor Down Podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Pods. Tyler Brown, new Houston Astro, going from Vanderbilt to pro ball. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you so much for being here. Again, Max, thank you.
101st overall to the Astros, but it's been a while since we've checked in here in the first week of July. What have the last few months been for you since the final game in Nashville on March the 11th, both baseball and school-wise?
It's been hard. I mean, especially because we didn't get our season. We didn't get to do the things that we wanted to and we worked for. Missed the guys a lot. A lot of good memories are there, and a lot of good relationships and relationships that were there since I've been a freshman. And it's just something that it's weird because everything's all new. So now basically going into the Astros organization, seeing new faces and learning new people and creating new relationships and looking forward to it. But I'm just bummed that we didn't get to play this season and see how things would have panned out, and would love to see Omaha one more time.
As someone who appreciated and embraced the challenge of Vanderbilt academically, What was it like taking classes online in the college setting?
It was more challenging, to believe it or not, because, I mean, in a classroom, it's hard enough to pay attention, and it's hard enough to take everything in that your teachers are talking to you about and try to explain to you, and then you put it on a computer. It's just, it's not the same. But, I mean, it was an obstacle. We got through it, and I can't thank the teachers enough for working with me and Sarah and Coach Corbin and everybody that were that stood by my side to help me go through it and were there for support.
That's great. Tyler Brown, Vandy Baseball, just drafted and signed to the Houston Astros, is our guest here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's the summer been like for you since classes ended? Not just the draft specifically, but your baseball routine has changed a little bit, and you just made a little bit of a move.
Absolutely. Everything's a change, and that's where people grow the most. And right now, since baseball ended and before the draft and everything, me and Bella got to spend some quality time together as a stay-at-home dad. And that was some much-needed time with her. Had help, of course, because I was learning her and she was learning me. And her grandpa was there, Jocelyn's dad, was there to help me, kind of like guide me through and show me the ropes a little bit. And I'm very appreciative of that because having a two-year-old has its own challenges. But baseball kind of was still there. As soon as Jocelyn got home from work, she would take the kid and watch the kid and finish out the evening with her as I went through and worked out as much as I can. And on it, try to do the same things. It was hard to get into gyms because all the gyms were closed. So it was just basically doing work with body weight bands and doing everything I could to stay in shape. And I mean, it helps build character and helps build me even more because of the fact that you don't need all the nice equipment and everything to build a future in baseball. You just need to be yourself and use what you have. And that's what life's about. Just knowing the circumstances, preparing for it, and just going out there and dominating it.
Tyler Brown, Vandy to the Astros, is on the phone. Let's talk about that draft where the Astros did pick you. What were your expectations heading in?
Expectations are probably, like, for everybody, is probably they want to go higher, they want to do this. But my expectation was if I get the next shot, I do, and if I don't, I'm coming back to school. And thankfully, I am blessed, and God looked out for me, and I followed his path, and he led me to the Astros. And I'm very excited to be a part of this organization and very excited to start my next chapter here. And also excited to create new relationships and grow with them and give them all I have and try to be the best teammate, try to be the best player, and see where everything goes from there.
So it's well publicized, of course, but Houston only had 3 picks in this 5-round MLB draft, which was the lowest of any MLB team. Did that create anything unique or interesting about your signing process or your negotiation process, since they're only bringing in so few players and have such a small allotted value?
No, I didn't really pay attention to that. I just, for me, what mattered was kind of like the whole Coach Corbin thing. Having a organization that believes in you, and that's what I needed. I mean, just to be able to be here and to have the opportunity to play pro baseball is a lot of people don't get. So you can, some people can be greedy about money or greedy about circumstances, and that's just not who I am as a person. I'm just thankful that I got my foot in the door, and basically from now on, it's up to me where my career goes. It's up to me how hard I work. It's up to me. I got my shot. I got my opportunity. So all this is on me as a person. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited for it. And I've never backed down from a challenge before, so I'm excited for this one.
June 17th was the day that you signed in Houston, just about a week after you were picked. What was it like flying down to Houston, going to an empty Minute Maid Park, and signing your pro contract?
I mean, I don't know anything different. I didn't have the expectations to get this big crowd there or anything like that, but I was just blessed. It allowed me to take in everything as soon as I walked in. Like, I didn't have all the media or anybody there to distract me. So you got to take in everything. And especially from being there when I was with Vandy, when we played there, just taking in the atmosphere. I never really got that chance to do it. So being there while it was empty and seeing everything and signing was just, I was blessed that it was just me and a few people there. Because of the fact that I actually got to take the environment in, got to look around and see my future and see where I wanted to be at and get the view and vision of everything in my head of where I plan on being.
Tyler Brown, final pick of the third round of the five-round only 2020 MLB draft. He was number 101 out of 160 who went. Vanderbilt baseball closer, now with the Houston Astros, talking about signing. From the big league organization who has named their 60-player pool, some draftees this year for other teams are in their pool. The majority of them were first-round picks. You know that you're not going to be in that pool. You're not going to have a minor league affiliate this year to play games for. So what are your instructions moving forward?
My instructions are just to better myself, grow as a person, and grow as a baseball player. And take everything in and be appreciative of where I'm at and keep working and show everybody what I'm made of. Just because I'm not where everyone else is doesn't mean anything to me because I can't compare my program to anybody else's. My road's different than everybody else's, and I've known that since growing up. So kind of my past is helping me here of just being a better me and be a better baseball player, learn more about the game, and make my body do what I want it to and be healthy and then come out whenever baseball resumes and show the world what I'm made of.
And you're doing that right now. You recently headed down from back home in Ohio down to South Florida. Tell us about what you're doing there and what the ceiling like that is like in terms of how much potential there is for more growth.
I mean, there's a lot of growth that can happen. I'm down here working at Cressy's. Working out there during the week, four times a week lifting and 2 days movement and doing the pitching program there, just build up my arm, get stronger, be healthier, and again, be the best version of me and seeing all the guys that walk in through that door with the same dreams and the same mindset. So it's competing whenever you're not supposed to be competing. Every day when you step in the gym, there's someone to compete against, and whether it be guys from the other teams, seeing guys from LSU, seeing guys from Duke, and seeing all those guys, and seeing the pro guys, seeing Noah Syndergaard, Verlander, Scherzer, and seeing all those guys, and seeing a couple of the Vandy guys. I mean, it's like I'm back at Vandy just competing all over again, and that's probably my favorite thing to do is compete against everybody else who's there and try to be the best version of myself and be better and work harder than anybody next to me.
You mentioned Justin Verlander, who is now your Astros teammate. Did you speak to him at Cressy at all? And if so, what was that like?
I did not speak to him. I haven't done anything yet. I'm not going to sit here and walk up to somebody who's proved himself multiple times in the big leagues. I'm another dude in the organization. Hopefully one day I can make it up there quick enough where I'll actually get to play with him and pick his mind a little bit. It's cool to see people like that walk in through the door. Because they've been role models for a lot of people and role models for me, even when I watch games and stuff like that. You see how they play, you see how they play the game, you see what they do in a training room. Like, it just makes me want to be a better version of me. And it goes back to why I'm down here and with the time that I have to use this time and develop myself mentally, physically, and get ready to play the game.
You do have some teammates who you have met there. Some Vandy boys are in the house. Jake Eater is mm-hmm. there. Isaiah Thomas as well, South Floridian doors. What's it like training in the out-of-Vanderbilt setting with those guys who you have done really the same things you're doing right now with side-by-side for so long?
I mean, it's awesome. It's good to see the guys get and have that connection again. And the brotherhood and the bonds that we've built with each other, it's fun to see them around and fun to be able to mess with somebody in the gym and push people. And really you have that sense of comfort almost. And, I mean, it's a good thing to have. I mean, it's fun to see them, and it's fun to see them work and strive for their goals as well, especially because you got an IT that's going back. You got Ryan Keenan that's going back, Nick Maldonado. Just seeing them better themselves and get stronger in the off season, whenever a lot of people could be doing 100 different things, they're in there working and doing their thing. And I feel like that's going to pay off, and I'm excited to watch them and watch them grow as people and also players.
Tyler Brown's on the phone. What's it like during the draft when you go 100 first overall, then three picks, and maybe 5 minutes later, Jake Eater is picked by the Marlins?
I mean, it was an emotional day for sure. Everything I've worked for a lot of years, promises that I've made to my mom, my daughter, my family, and seeing it pay off was very emotional. I was very thankful, and again, and having a team that believes in me and would stick their neck out just for me, I mean, it means a lot. And I was overwhelmed for sure. And there's a whole new growth period to this. I mean, it's like going from being the top dog at Vandy. I mean, you're upperclassman, and now you're right back down at the bottom of the totem pole. It's just like school. When you go from being an eighth grader to the ninth grade, you're back down at the bottom. So that's just one of those things that I look forward to. And I was excited to see my teammate, Jake, and my brother get drafted and fulfill his dreams as well. I feel like everybody who got drafted in our class, I mean, they earned it. They work every day, and great guys. I mean, seeing Austin Martin get drafted, I mean, I was emotional about that just because the bond that we created, and that was my roommate, and we knew a lot about each other. And seeing him and his family, that meant a lot to me. It was just God does good things for the people that work hard and meet them halfway. So seeing that, to me, just it made me very – very happy, and I couldn't ask for more, and I was just glad that those guys got that opportunity as well because they deserve it.
Over a year later now, what are your memories of perhaps the pinnacle of your on-field Vanderbilt experience, finishing off the team's first four wins in Omaha last year?
I'll never forget Omaha. After reading Ethan's interview that he sent in, and like, the way that he felt about me and the way that he says the team felt about me, I mean, it's an honor. And I wouldn't be in this position without the older guys. I wouldn't be in this position without the coaches, without my teammates. And, I mean, they pushed me every day. Nothing was ever easy or given. And having guys like that in the locker room, having those memories in Omaha, I mean, that's just something you'll never forget. I mean, having guys like JJ, Austin, Ethan, Scotty, I mean, all these guys, I mean, I can go on and on. Julian and the adversities that he went through the season and stuff like that. I mean, we built something that is very rare. And I still talk to a lot of them to this day, and I love every single one of them, and I couldn't have done it without them. The confidence I had in them behind me, I wouldn't be in this position that I'm in. I wouldn't be the person that has the save record or anything, because there's eight other guys behind me, and there's more people on the bench, and there's more people that supported me and drove me every day and helped me out throughout the way. Doesn't mean it had to be an older guy. I mean, there's younger guys that did it as well. And seeing those guys go out and compete, I'll forever be grateful for those moments, and I'll probably never forget it.
You mentioned Ethan Paul's essay on VUCommodores.com came out on June 25th last week. He said about you, the portion you referenced, quote, "There is trust in a teammate, and then there is the unbreakable belief in someone's ability to get it done. That was Tyler Brown to all of us. Every single time he took the mound that season, a new level of confidence permeated our team. He commanded the moment again, punching out two on his way to notching his program record 17th save of the year." Talking about that big save in Omaha, one of the four wins that Tyler Brown finished. He is our guest here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You mentioned your family. You mentioned your daughter and your partner, Jocelyn, back in Ohio. And, of course, your family received a ton of publicity during the College World Series and leading up to the national championship last year. I've always been curious, Tyler, what has been your point of view as your family life and your personal life has become very public?
Personal view? It's almost like that was my calling. Having to kid with Down syndrome and having the life adversity and challenges that I've went through, it's not for people to feel sorry for me. That's the last thing that I want. It's for people to realize no matter where you come from, no matter how hard things are, that you can get through it, you can persevere, and you can do anything you set your mind to. And I wouldn't be in this position without them and their support. It's just one of those things that I'm – another thing that I'm very grateful for. And using my stage for kids with Down syndrome or any kids that have disabilities at all, it's just – I'm proud of it. And I wouldn't change one thing about my daughter. I wouldn't change one thing about my life. It made me who I am. And it makes us grow. It makes us grow together. It makes us grow each other. We grow every day because of life challenges. And as life goes on, there's no time to sit there and stop and go, oh, poor me. There's just, you got to put your boots on. You got to go to work every day. And Jocelyn does that. I can't thank her enough for everything she's done. I can't thank my family and her family for the support that they give her. And it's just one of those things that it isn't about what you know, it's who you know. And knowing that people are there, that are there for support and my family and her family and working for a common goal. I mean, it's another team I have. And I'm very thankful and never traded for the world. And I hope that everybody who knows my story and hears my story can try to inspire and lift some light. And no matter what situation you're in, that you can always come out and you can always see the positive in every situation and be the person that everybody needs you to be and have, the, like Corbs always says, the face for your team. We need a face that the team needs, and can you be that person? And no matter how bad life may seem, there's always a better part of it, and there's always a better way to do things, and there's always more room for growth and everything like that. So I think it kind of helps. It helps with everything that's going on, and I just hope people get that from my story and not just some sob story or think that I tell my story just for people to feel sorry for me or anything like that. I just hope that people see it and know that no matter where they're from or what's going on, they can persevere through it.
What are some of your favorite moments over the last couple of years where your daughter and baseball have met in the middle?
Several. She's seen me pitch a lot, and I mean, she's always watching games back home and FaceTiming her when I was in Omaha and stuff like that. It was that extra drive. And I mean, I'll always be grateful for baseball and for her. I mean, that's my life all wrapped up in a small circle right there. So it's hard. It's definitely the moments that I went home to see her whenever she was going through surgery, kind of put things in perspective for me. And it may sound a little morbid and stuff like that, but I mean, seeing her go through the surgeries and then come out with a big smile on her face and the fight that she has, and she's basically fighting for her life. And seeing that just gave me an overall perspective on baseball. It helped me. It made me who I am, and it helped me develop relationships with teammates. It helped me connect to people, and it helped me when I was on the mound. That, I mean, this isn't life or death, but it's a fight. When someone steps in the box, it's a dogfight, and I'm going to be like her. I'm going to try to be the person that always walks away from it with a smile on my face and give it everything I got.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you, Tyler, for the many, many people you've helped and for sharing all of that. You, like you said, you've inspired so many, and the fact that even I get to see so many of them reach out to you through baseball is what makes it special. And I know it just kind of grows from there. It's like a family tree of all the people you've impacted. So personally, I wanted to say thank you. And I know I represent so many when I say that as well.
Thank you. It means a lot. The kind words and me being here, it means a lot. Thank you.
Man, is Tyler Brown special. He really is. He really, really is. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I just always wanted to know. I always wanted to know what he thinks. And maybe his answer would have been different a year ago, 14 months ago, before it truly became a national story about all of the struggles in his life and his young daughter's life and how those things just compound on top of each other. But man, is that a special way to look at things? That is a man who is approaching everything that goes on in his world the right way. And for those of you who haven't read the big profile that Adam Sparks wrote for the Tennessean last year that really brought all of this to the forefront and uncovered some of the little pieces of the story as well, and then also the video piece that Vanderbilt did over the course of the College World Series and that regular season, I believe it came out right after the national championship last year. Shouldn't be hard to find on VU Commodore's YouTube. Those are special. Those are special. And in the video piece, by the way, this isn't something I've ever said before on the podcast or in broadcast. I don't know if anybody knows this actually outside of the program, but Tyler Brown explains in that video why the number 21 is so meaningful to him on a couple of fronts, especially speaking about the 21st chromosome and his daughter with Down syndrome. Tyler Brown was not uniform number 21 when he got to Vanderbilt. In the black and gold series, on that roster, and yeah, the guys don't always wear their normal numbers in the black and gold series because it's usually jerseys from the year before, but Tyler Brown was number 50. He was not number 21 until very close to the season. Which means that Tim Corbin allowed him to change to a number of his personal preference, the player's personal preference, not the number assigned to him by Coach Corbin, as everybody else who comes through the program has and wears. So that sheds some light on what we've heard have been the early emotional conversations between Tim Corbin and Tyler Brown, which start with the phone call in spring of his senior year. In April, May of 2017, Coach, I'm having a daughter. I wanted you to know. Actually, as I speak this into the microphone, a little piece of that memory comes back to me. He couldn't have been number 21. And I remember thinking this at the time, that it was odd that he took this number for the season and gave it to a freshman after it had already been worn through the preseason by Alex Brewer, who was a sophomore third baseman, ended up leaving the team right around New Year's, sometime in between the end of fall ball and the start of spring ball, which is really only a month. Alex Brewer was number 21 his freshman year in 2017. And then in 2018, he was too, but he left the team. He certainly was not leaving the team to vacate the number. That was not why. I honestly don't know why he left the team, but he stayed at Vanderbilt and he graduated. But that's what made the number available, and that conversation started. And I wish I was thinking about this when I recorded the interview with Tyler about an hour ago. I could have asked. But here we are a couple hours later. And we will let that amazing set of answers by Tyler Brown sit as is. Some special stuff. There were too many answers to go highlight one by one. But I loved his reasoning for not introducing himself to Justin Verlander. That's so great. Takes you inside the mindset of Tyler Brown. One other quote that does, and today's interview is exempt from this. Those of you who listened to our draft recap here on the show, which came right after the draft on Friday, June the 11th, I believe, is where that number lined up. I gave my favorite interview answer I ever received from all four of the Vanderbilt players that were drafted. We did the same thing for Ty Duvall and Harrison Ray, who had solo interviews with me after their undrafted contracts were signed. We already played on that first show, but I know that many of Tyler's friends and family will be listening to this and some fans of his who did not hear that longer episode. So I want to make sure as Tyler gets his solo love that I play for you my favorite interview answer I received from Tyler Brown during his Vanderbilt career. Again, tonight exempt. It would probably have been passed. But this quote to me for a player who, as I've said, received a lot of attention and headlines for what his life is like away from baseball, and he wouldn't have it any other way, of course, but as someone who interviews him on the baseball front and announces many of his baseball games, I think this quote is the most telling of what Tyler Brown, the ball player and the pitcher, is like. This was from June 23rd, 2019, Sunday, kind of half media day at the College World Series, the day before the College World Series finals start. So we're down to Vanderbilt in Michigan. Vanderbilt has already gone 3-0. I interviewed Tyler for the podcast. You can scroll down on the podcast page and find it. Again, that was June 23rd, 2019. It was the College World Series finals preview episode here on the show. I asked him about the game against Indiana State in the regional where he couldn't finish it and Jake Eder had to come in to get the final three outs after Brown couldn't get it done. And we found out pretty quickly after that Tyler Brown was tipping his pitches.
Coming out of Indiana State, I mean, you find out you're tipping your pitches. And without revealing too much, what do you guys do to diagnose that?
I watched that night. I couldn't really sleep. So I stayed up probably 3 to 4 hours just watching my film over and over again repeatedly, thinking about the last time that Arkansas hit me hard. I just looked at similar things, found out what I was doing, and tried to fix it that way. And just, again, just being myself on the mound. They beat me. Hats off to them. Congrats. But I'd like to think that it's hard to beat me twice. I learned from my mistakes. So I was ready to go back out there, but at the same time, you got to give them credit for doing their older team. They did what they needed to do. It was smart baseball. It happens. But I didn't really lose. I learned from it. So just move forward.
Fair to say you found your fix then?
Yeah, I think so. But there's always room to grow and room inside the game. Always, because I'm a big film guy on myself. I don't like to watch film about everybody else. It's just I try to critique myself as much as I can.
You beat me once, great. I don't think you're going to beat me again. And the stuff about him being a big film nut, but only watching film of himself, I think is a smaller piece of a defining characteristic of Tyler Brown. And you heard it a million times in this interview that we just recorded today. So many of his answers revert back to the same thing. I want to be the best person I can be. I want my body to be the best it can be. He's very inwardly focused as an athlete. I can tell you for a fact, the majority of the film that the Vanderbilt staff and coaches watch is of players on the other team. The Vanderbilt players can watch whatever they want. But the meat of scouting reports comes from watching every pitch of every game that the team that Vandy is about to face has played. They're not necessarily rewatching every single pitch that Tyler Brown has thrown in his last outing. That's not really what the film work is for. But Tyler Brown is a player, and as a closer, he doesn't feel the need to watch hitter scouting videos. He doesn't need to watch video of Louisville baseball players before Vandy faces them for the third time in just under a month at the College World Series. And those are names he's getting to know. He certainly knows their hot spots and not. But that's not who he's watching film of. He's watching film of himself. And I know after that game, when the Vanderbilt crew found out that pitches were being tipped, there were a lot of eyes watching Tyler Brown film. But Tyler was up, trying to figure out what was wrong, reverting back to the series finale against Arkansas when he blew a save, trying to see if he was doing the same things then. So that, to me, very indicative of Tyler Brown, the ball player. And I asked him right at the beginning of tonight's interview, too, about his academic experience this semester taking classes online. You got to remember, when you hear him speaking in long form like this, I mean, we talked for 20 minutes back and forth, talked about a lot of different things. I, of course, don't tell him questions in advance. I never do with interview guests, but he's someone with a learning disability. And he certainly, at many points in his life, if you were to take the 33 players on the Vanderbilt baseball roster right now and put them in a conversation situation or have them all do interviews for, say, something like an admissions process, he would have stood out. And every time I've spoken with him in an interview format, I've been nothing but impressed with the way that he conducts himself. So thank you to Tyler Brown. Thank you to his crew up in Central Ohio for making themselves a big part of Vanderbilt and for allowing Vanderbilt to become a big piece of them. And like everyone else who leaves the Vanderbilt program, Tyler Brown is not going away. They will certainly be back in Nashville when it is safe to do so for the next upcoming offseason. And who knows which team his next competitive pitch will be for in the Astros organization. Hopefully it comes in April 2021. I hate that's the earliest we can ask. Best case scenario, that is 9 months away from right now. So thank you to Tyler Brown for joining us. Hey, thanks to Jake Eder for housing him. That call was made from Jake Eder's place down in South Florida. We will be back hopefully next week on the Anchor Down podcast. We're still waiting on Jake Eder and Austin Martin to sign. Once they sign, we are hoping to get both of them. Obviously, Austin Martin is a high dollar value, and Jake Eder, I almost can assuredly say, will command an overslot pick for the Marlins, going 104th overall, three picks after Tyler Brown. I'm really hopeful to get to talk to Austin Martin after he signs. Again, has a full month left. The deadline is August 1. The window is much wider than usual, and the number of players is much lower than usual, and I expect both of them to sign pro deals with the teams that picked them, Martin especially. My Twitter is at MaxHersTalks. You can subscribe to the podcast to get every episode notified automatically. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play is where the Anchor Down podcast lives from ESPN 102.5 The Game. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Hers. It's the Anchor Down podcast here on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.